these 10 people that are in the hospital or just on the verge, and then my brother died, and my grandson died, and I don't like, I don't know what it is, it's just like an overshadowing of it.
Like people.
And it sucks. Because it's, you know, I don't fear it.
Is that what you did? You hit it a second time?
Yeah.
Alright.
Well, I mean, you...
It eats up my time, I guess. It's just so...
Well, it, but it doesn't have to. It's... You take it personally. The idea that death is sneaking up on you.
Yeah.
And that's, and then you get depressed.
Most of these people just don't seem to have anybody to take care of them. You know, they all work all the time. At least I can take off a little. But it just seems like they're stuck. Like today, Kent couldn't even go get his wife out of the hospital. His truck was broken. He's outside East Jesus.
Yeah, but that's not what bothers you. That's not what's getting to you.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It does. You know, I'm in so much pain. I would be almost a great thing.
We've got to remember that. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. That was Christ. The only reason we suffer so that we have the capacity for compassion, because the same neurons that cause us to feel pain are the same ones that give us the capacity for compassion.
Well, that's what happens to me. I wake up in the morning and I start crying about... I just see their faces, you know, my grandchild, Gary, you know, Pal, you know, dot, Jamie, again. And I see those faces and I just start crying. And sad.
But you have to see it in a different light. It's, of course, it's sad, but by the same token, you have to see that the human race is dead, that you're dead already.
Well, I start praying for them, and...
Yeah, but what happens to you, I know you so well, is you start praying for them, and then it quickly turns to you, emotionally.
I used to. I don't know if it does now or not.
But anyway, this is the perfect sign for us to study tonight. Because the sign that we're studying tonight is the dolphin. Of all of the symbols in this star map, it's my favorite by far. Remember the Capricorn, or Capricornus, is there? It's got the front part is the dying sheep or the dying goat. As the sin offering, but giving life to the fish, which is the tail, and it's alive. And the arrow is about death. It's going through, and it's aimed at the heart of Christ. That's why it's... But then the eagle is also falling, as if dead. But the dolphin is jumping and alive, and it even is, it's almost a childlike drawing of a dolphin, and it's always been that way. It's always been, in ancient Christianity, the symbol of resurrection. But not resurrection in history. It's got to be seen as resurrection in you. And it has the idea of it's surrounded by death, but it's springing forth in newness of life.
It also feels like, you know, the simplicity of the drawing is like the innocence of a child.
That's what we're going to study.
Before self-awareness.
That's what we're going to study.
Well, I didn't read your notes.
Now, the reason it became a symbol of resurrection is it came from this sign. That's the only way a dolphin could be the symbol of resurrection, probably. Anyway, that's my opinion. But in sacred, it was especially sacred in Greek culture. In myth, it was to Apollo. In myth, Apollo took the form of a dolphin and led the people to the Oracle of Delphi. Now, the Oracle of Delphi was the most famous of all oracles, that kings and emperors and rulers from everywhere went to this oracle. And it's up in the mountains north of Athens, and I went up there. I've got a piece of the Oracle of Delphi in my office there. Which I
not
it just happened to fall into my pocket.
You're not supposed to do that.
It fell into my pocket. There's a little piece on the ground. But Delphi is a form of the word Delphus.
Yeah.
And Delphus is the Greek word for dolphin. And so the whole mystery of the dolphin is tied into all kinds of symbols. Now, it also, the dolphin carried the souls of the dead to the Isle of the Blessed. Ancient Christian art showed the dolphin transporting the spirits of the faithful to Christ's side upon leaving their physical bodies. There are stories after stories about ancient sailors being saved by the dolphin. He was their protector. Now, And these are just, I'm just going to talk in generalities a minute. The symbols, other symbols, it was a symbol of protection, but it was also the symbol of a generous spirit. It was the symbol of childlike joy, the symbol of abandonment, the symbol of being free from inhibition. Most importantly, the being free from consciousness of self. It's joyful, play. It was at home in both the sea and the air, so that was, in the ancient times, that meant that it was both at home in the human race and in heaven. Now, we're going to look at some scriptures and see if we can maybe come to an understanding so that we can just abandon this idiot self that we call us and begin to live in newness of spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew 18 first. Verse 2. Well, let's start verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. And he said, Now this little child is the word, it's the word which means darling infant, or the child before self-awareness. And you've heard me talk about this hundreds of times if you've been here very long. Every one of us was without self-awareness for approximately the first 18 months of our lives. And as soon as self-consciousness came into the picture, the parents and everybody say, oh, that's wonderful, but to God, it's the evidence of the fall. So from that time, from the time of our moment of self-awareness, we've been plagued. Our only way of learning was we learned the value systems of the world around us. We took on the emotional baggage of our parents and our grandparents and the generations of whoever you were. You took on the value systems of the world. You were taught they were right. You were taught in the name of God they were right. And it's just a bunch of crap. Your heritage is this joyful abandonment, this without self-consciousness. And watch what he says. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now, I don't know if you can remember all the way back to your before self-awareness. Every once in a while I've had a few flashes of memory to it. But in each and every time I've had a flash of memory, it was nothing but joy. But you've seen the children, your children grow up. You've seen the children in the community grow up. And you've seen that if they hurt, they cry. If they're hungry, they want to get fed. I mean, it's no thought. Everything is boom, 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 boom. No thought, no music, no gelling, no pondering.
Pontificating.
What?
No pontificating.
Yeah. All right, now let's go to Philippians. Chapter 4. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, the moderation there is a bad translation. It's a word, it's the word peristemi, but it means let your ultimate yieldedness, giving every ounce of yourself up to God every second, not holding on to any thought about yourself, any emotion, anything about you, you let it go instantly. The moment anything about you or yours comes into the picture, you give it back up so that you remain always as light as a feather. As light as a feather. If you're not light as a feather all your day, then it's not God's fault, it's yours. Because you have taken yourself way too seriously. And but we love to take ourselves so seriously. Makes us feel important. So this is, let your yieldedness be known unto all men. The Lord is here. That's what it says. It doesn't say at hand. I mean, it says he's here. Now hear this next part of it. Be careful for nothing. And again, we're talking about the joyful abandonment of a little child. Be careful for nothing. Not in any aspect of your thought, not in any aspect of your life. There's never a reason for you to even consider you. It's just boring. You understand? You're dead. And your baptism sealed it. Your flesh is never again to be tested. Your mind is to be the mind of Christ, which is total emptying, so you can partake of the joy of the Lord. Not this morbid crap.
Yeah, look, like the glimpses you have in your childhood, there's glimpses of of the times when I was in that state. And, I remember it. One day I was guys on the porch where the office used to be, and about the drink of the cold water. And it was real quiet. Somebody, I think it's Ronnie, we were sitting there, and just the wind just blew through the bushes, you know. And we didn't have any cares in the world. You know, it was just, I remember times like that. So, man, I don't, you know, you just wonder how you get up in the morning and get so tied up with my retirement account's gone. I've got to get this and get that. And you just pull that freaking car rope.
Why?
That's right, why? This is the best. I ask what's requirement. I know better.
I know.
And when you repent at that moment, but then you find 5 minutes later or an hour later, then you're back into it.
Do you understand if you say you repented and there isn't joy connected with it, it isn't repentance?
Yeah. It still lasts as long as it should.
Whose fault is that?
Mine.
Because you resurrect the evil one for some good reason, you think. All right. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that keep doesn't mean you're just going to be kept, and it means that you will be free. You will know joy. Now let's go back to Matthew 5, I think. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now mammon, it's not a Hebrew word, it's a Chaldean word that somehow made its way into the Hebrew language and then into the Greek language, but it means anything that you have confidence in. It doesn't just mean money. You cannot serve God in anything you have confidence in. You have confidence in cause and effect, you can't serve God.
Health. Your health.
Well, it doesn't matter. The health becomes a non-issue. Yeah, but if you don't have to give it any thought, it's, what are you going to think?
I'm just decreeing with you.
All right. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now in many translations it says, don't be anxious about your life. No, that's not what it says. It says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing, or meat and raiment? Now again, everything that can be known of God is about God is revealed in the things He has made. Have you ever seen a nervous hawk? No, a nervous hawk.
Hawk, yeah,
the red-tailed hawk. You ever seen a nervous one?
No. Get close, they fly away. They get nervous enough to fly away.
That's why I brought it up. We have a red-tailed hawk that lands here in my Chase Lounge and back and sits in the Chase Lounge and stares at me through the up window. I don't know. if he's looking at me as food or what he's doing.
It's
Harry coming back. It's the hawk's going to start speaking. I told you I was sick.
This is Harry's Bible. I thought it was mine, but it is Harry's Bible.
All right.
It's starting to get hot.
Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Now there's a spiritual principle. If you take no thought for what you are to wear, or what you are to drink, or what you are to eat, what you are supposed to eat, then there is no excuse to take thought for anything else, because those are the things that are necessary for survival, right?
Right.
So, I mean, if it says take no thought for those basics, that didn't mean you take thought for your business plan.
It's axiomatic. It means everything else. Nothing means nothing.
Okay. Now, behold the fowls of the air. But they sow not, neither do they. That probably should be translated, behold the hawks of the air. No, I'm not sure. For they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if you seek the kingdom of God, it means that you don't have a second. It's not I am second, like all these billboards around town. Mm. It's I don't exist. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's go to John 15.
I've met an old rancher, crusty, well, guy from Abilene that came in today. He named his company Windows Operating. Out of the blue, one of the people said, why did you name your company Windows? I thought it was in the window business or something. And he said, well, in Malachi, I started talking about giving no thought about it. He said, in Malachi, if I worship God and I do what I'm supposed to do, the heavens will open and the windows.
Windows of heaven will open.
Whatever I need is going to fall out. Yeah, it just floored everybody, you know. That's
wow. No, this is just one verse. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, in Matthew 25, it says that you do these things so that you could enter into his joy. And what things? Pick up the cross. Abandon yourself. Take no thought. I mean, that's why the dolphin is such an incredible picture. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. They're gone forever because they're buried in baptism. There's no more reference to your past. There's no more reference to the future. There's no more concern about what's going to happen to you or anybody else. You, within your power, as a need comes into it, you meet it. But you don't dwell on it. Faith is action. It isn't thinking about it. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go one more. Go to Galatians 5. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Joy. Joy. Abandonment. Not letting the weight of a feather on your mind, emotions, or your body. When I was in Cabo this time, in May, every morning, I get up real early as I usually do, just as the sun was starting to rise, and this crew, I don't know what you call them, but a crew of dolphins were playing in the harbor.
Oh, yeah.
And they go back and forth, and they jump together, and then one of them turns around, and the others will jump back and follow them. And it was just pure joy. I couldn't wait till we got to the dolphins. Because that's the best symbol of your new life in Christ. And don't forget it. Don't let this crap weigh you down. It's just a lie. There's nothing you can do about it by all this garbage. If you think you can, I'd ask you, how has it worked out for you thus far? It's just crazy. You know better. So please, remember the dolphin.
I've been on a couple of cruises and that same thing happens. You know, you're on the boat and the dolphins, you just follow on the boat.
Yeah, that happened down there. We went on this little cruise thing and it was a boat, but it wasn't very big. And this stupid dolphin comes right up and
They've been known to, supposedly, like, maybe the smartest thing to a human being, with their pings and their talking and saving,
clicks and things, chatter, and
protecting each other, and it's just amazing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the thing that it's, so, and I think it's just revealed in that picture, the picture here of the dolphin almost looks like a cartoon of a dolphin.
Yeah.
It's just the idea. Just love God and have fun. Quit this crap. Oh, I've got to do that. Poor me.
Is there a significance? You know, we see a dolphin there, all because they're smiling. But the dolphin in this picture looks like it's frowning. Is there a reason for that? Is that
how can you see a frown in that dolphin?
I didn't see a frown in the dolphin.
Am I looking at it wrong? Or?
You must have better eyes than I, because I don't see a frown.
Do you see a frown on that face of that dolphin?
It looks happy to me.
I guess I'm looking at it wrong.
You're interpreting the little turn down on the
That's just an artist drawing in there.
That was the eye, and that's his mouth.
Yeah, but see, the mouth looks like it's turned down a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not in most of the pictures.
There's no importance in that.
No.
There's no. Okay. I was just wondering.
No. Well, that finishes Capricornus. We could spend another 6 months on it, but I promised myself we were going to speed up. Next is Aquarius, which go all the way back. Do you understand that earthly time is going counterclockwise? So look at Taurus, find Taurus. If you have it's right at the top of the, okay?
Uh-huh.
Was the age of Taurus back during the biblical times?
Yeah.
maybe not biblical, but I mean, A.D., early A.D., B.C.?
No, it was B.C. I mean, no. What happened was, from when you go all the way back to the most ancient, then they were in the age of Taurus, and that's why all these ancient idols, many of them had the body of a man and the head of, the body of a man and the head of a bull. That was the age of Taurus. And Abraham was born at the dawning of the age of Aries, the goat. And so that was the 2,000 years from Abraham to Moses. Then Moses was born. Well, anyway, it goes on and on and on. And then it's Christ was born at the dawning of the age of Pisces. And now we're at the dawning of the age of Aquarius. But the age of Aquarius is hard to understand because the water is being poured out and it covers over the age of Pisces, if you see. You see what I'm saying? We can go back and review what each of those things happen in each of those 2,000-year periods. But each time they entered a new age, then their god changed. Okay?
Yeah.
But not Wall Street. They still have a book.
Well, anyway, we start next on Aquarius, which is going to be fun, because Aquarius.
Is that Hercules that he's named there? Who's the guy with the beard there, the Aquarius at the end of the...
Yeah, who is that guy? I guess we'll find out, won't we?
Where are you talking about?
The guy that's holding on to Aquarius.
The guy that's holding on to Aquarius.
Right between Capricornus and Aquarius and Pisces Australis.
He's got a tail, or some kind of fish tail.
And Pegasus.
The names are right under it. Which name is it?
I don't see it.
Doesn't say a name under this guy.
That's where I am.
Show me.
This guy right here?
Guy holding
right,
on to Aquarius.
By the fish's tail of Capricornus.
He's got to be one of the deck eyes.
He's almost leaning on Capricornus.
I don't think we got to that last time.
This dude right here with the beard.
See him with the beard? And he's got his hand up. Like,
oh, that's Aquarius. That's part of Aquarius.
Oh.
It's Aquarius is a man pouring out the water.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So we start Aquarius the next time we meet.
Okay.
But we could go through all of the scriptures about joy and all the scriptures about abandonment of self. But you don't need us to do that, do you? You know. You know that if you feel the weight of a feather on you, you're back into self. You've resurrected the evil one from his deadly head wound. But it becomes, do you understand? Some people actually gain sustenance. They eat worry. That gives them purpose. Burnett?
You might be right. I've got another 10 minutes. I can't drive all the way over here for a 50-minute deal.
Well, we can drag this out as long as you want.
Just say I give. I'm just kidding.
Don't give breath to any aspect of how you feel or your thoughts.
You know, he's a parable. He's so young, he gets up, there's no consciousness. The other two dogs, they're real regimented. And he just plays and goes everywhere and jumps and actually, you know, has fun. But he'll change in about 3 or 4 months. He'll be a dog instead of a puppy.
All right. Anybody? Any other prayer requests other than what Burnett mentioned?
I'll make a quick comment. Nobody went to Woodrow Wilson here but me, right? The school up here? Beautiful state-of-the-art high school when it was built. I don't know how it could have happened, but above the stage, if you've ever seen their auditorium, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of
life." I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we go to the plays up there.
It's amazing. I mean, you know, as a high school student, I looked at that, didn't have a clue what that meant, didn't care what it meant.
It says exactly what out of the heart comes the issues.
It's a proverb. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And all he's saying, remember the dolphin. And that's what happens. I hear this stuff, I believe it, and I go out the door, and then the world starts crushing in. I don't keep my heart.
Well, keep your heart. Yeah. Keep that dolphin close at hand.
Yeah, remember the dolphin.
Yeah.
Remember, the 23rd Psalm is just to me incredible, but it's, "The Lord is my shepherd, so I shall not want." Nothing is ever different, should be different than it is. "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The idyllic place for us is the Lamb. He leadeth me beside the still waters, the waters of quietness." And then he throws this one in, right, boom, in the middle of all that great stuff, but he restoreth my soul, because he knows you're going to screw up. But all you have to do is say, "Father, forgive me," and he restores your soul. "He leadeth me in the path of righteousness." Path, singular, the hodos, the path, the way, "for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," which all of time and space is the valley of the shadow of death. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy," and then the impossible one, "thy rod and thy staff," and that's everything you don't like, "thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. Anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over, so I never make my cup too big. I always try to keep it small. So there's room, there's enough. Goodness and mercy shall follow me." It really says, "shall pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You're dwelling in the house of the Lord right now. You're on the mercy seat in the New Jerusalem. You can't possibly have a problem, and you can't have a problem about anybody else. You're at the first source of all things. You're at the top of the pyramid.
Top of the food chain.
There's nothing to be concerned with. Nothing. But it sounds so righteous to be concerned about something. Oh man, look at me, I'm spiritual.
Okay, it's 8 o'clock.
What, did you think he was picking on you? For some reason?
You had a tender spot there. Let me help that little dog.
I'll please, all of us.
Huh?
Well, hold it.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. No, I was going to take him home. Laura's gone. He's
my dog would be crushed.
Oh, we.
He'd never love him.
Come here, little guy.
Wait. I'm enjoying it.
Here, eat this pillow.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he's only a puppy. The other ones are 5 and 6 pounds, and he just gets up on them and just tears them to pieces. He's fierce. He's absolutely fierce. He's wanting to come to your chest when he does that. Hold him away from you. He just wants to get right up against your neck. He'll snuggle your ear. At first he would bite it, and I finally got him to where he just kind of nibbles it.
They have such sharp teeth.
Oh, he's got some canines that are just will cut you. See
that? Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Bye, John.
And you said he's 5 weeks?
Bye, John.
Bye. Bye. Get him.
5 months. Now, I got him when he was 8 weeks. He was just weaned off of his mother, and he could barely even walk. I took a syringe about this long.
Like that sweat on my hair.
Around, I cut the end of the needle and cut the syringe. Take a coffee grinder and grind his dog food up and add water and stir it, pull it up in the syringe, melt his mouth, and just put it near his mouth, just kind of push it. So he's been fed 4 times a day, every day since he's
put your butt in his face.
That's called a hand-raised dog.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He came off his mother's tit onto my chest.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's just a stitch.
He's looking at
him. He's fearless. He gets on my my other dogs, and he just will just back. He'll make them go get in their cage and hide.
So I told you could sit on my shoulder.
Yeah, he's like a parrot. He's like a little parrot.
So what are you pushing now? Push the red button to stop it?
He's like a little parrot.
Yeah,
just walk around and he's going to shoulder his claws.